There are many people who are recipients and beneficiaries of human compassion, charity, and chesed. More often, we deliver chesed on an individual basis to individuals who are suffering. Part of the challenge of a modern economy in large urbanized settings is, on the one hand, to channel massive communal funds and stream them through organizations that can allocate them in a broad enough spread of interests, while still not relinquishing the very personal and intimate experience of chesed. Unfortunately, for some, chesed is only expressed institutionally through checks and monies offered and donations and philanthropy, which of course in and of itself takes great sacrifice and selflessness, but in some contexts we've lost the opportunity for personal, direct, person-to-person chesed, which carries an entire emotional, interactive component that's absent from the distant and indirect forms of chesed. Family members are recipients of our chesed. Sometimes we ignore that fact. We get sometimes too engrossed in family dynamics to fully appreciate the family context as the framework for chesed. It's always intriguing to notice that, for example, the halacha of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which is a very, very vague halacha. It's not vague, but it's very broad, sweeping, and the Gemara doesn't really apply it to specific cases because it spreads and extends over the full range of human interaction. One of the lone cases the Gemara actually applies it to is marriage, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph. The specific context is to marry a woman that you're physically attracted to, as opposed to one you have no physical attraction to, because that will enhance your ability to act in ways which are kind and respectful. But it's really a gloss reminding us that marriage is the framework for applying v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. It's a framework for applying chesed and selflessness. But Hillel discussed a chesed that for some is the hardest and most difficult chesed of them all. And that's chesed to yourself. Now, chesed to yourself is challenging because we strive to be selfless rather than self-indulgent. We strive to be sensitive to others rather than egocentric and self-centered. But we sometimes deplete ourselves by serving too intensely, serving the needs of others, too consistently, too radically, without replenishing ourselves, without tending to our own psychological, physical well-being. My sense is, it's hard to really, obviously it differs on a case-by-case basis, but my sense is that this is an even greater challenge for women. Just looking at the difference that I sense, it's hard to really render judgments when you haven't really been experienced life in a different type of a gender, but my sense is that women have a harder task sometimes, this ability to tend to their own emotional needs at the cost of giving and volunteering and devotion to others sometimes has to be balanced. But Hillel spoke about this. One day he left the Beis Medrash, and it's quoted in the Medrash in Parshas Behar. Parshas Behar describes charity to a brother who has fallen on hard times, who is downtrodden, b'chiyamuch achicha, your brother. So the description of the beneficiary of chesed and charity as a brother hints to the reality that, as the phrase goes, charity starts at home, and not just at home, but with yourself, your brother, namely your own self. And to punctuate this issue, the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, gomel nacho ish chesed, person who performs needs to himself. Chesed needs to himself, gomel nafsho, at least the way the Medrash interprets the pasuk. So one day Hillel leaves the Beis Medrash, and the Talmidim inquire where he's going, and he tells them, I'm going to do a mitzvah. And they say, where? And he says, I'm going to the bathhouse, fitness gym, to tend to my own physical hygiene. And dumbfounded, they ask, well, That's not a mitzvah. And he says the following. You ever look at national monuments, royal sculptures? The kings take great interest in cleansing them, upkeeping them, maintenance, polishing. They pay princely sums for those who can both fashion and maintain these royal images. My body reflects Hashem. Tzelem Elokim asas Adam. So tending to my body, tending to my hygiene, is protecting Tzelem Elokim. That's a mitzvah. So Hillel stressed the need for personal maintenance and hygiene, personal health and fitness. And he articulated it as a manner of protecting and preserving Hashem's masterpiece. For the same reason, we have to be careful and responsible about the way we interact with our environment. It's Hashem's masterpiece, and we are tasked with the charge of the Avda to marshal its energies, forces, capabilities, but also the Shamra, to preserve it. Very often those two assignments clash. The more we advance and develop our world, the more difficult it is to protect its native balance that Hashem installed. We're environmentally responsible, not because we worship Mother Nature, but because this is Hashem's masterpiece, and our bodies are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's masterpiece. So it's a mitzvah. Now, what's interesting is that there's a second version to this conversation between Hillel and his students, and it could very well be that this second version isn't a variant discussion, but additional, different conversation. Hillel was fully capable of, especially since he was making the same point, but the differences are nuanced, he's fully capable of striking a different nuance in a subsequent conversation. In a subsequent or a previous conversation, maybe the same conversation, they ask the same question, which mitzvah are you doing? And he says, I'm going to perform chesed with a host. So they assumed he may have been sleeping in someone's house and he was on the way to reparate some chesed to the host that had shown him kindness. And he said, my body hosts my soul, my nefesh. Shouldn't I reciprocate the chesed to the host, to the body? And therefore, I'm tending to my fitness, to my hygiene, to my overall well-being. So taken largely, on these two occasions, or if they're the same story, just reported differently, Hillel's stressing the need of chesed to yourself. In particular, not just to your own emotional and psychological well-being, but even to your physical body. Certainly in an age in which mankind in general has become much more sensitive to fitness and physical health, it certainly is a chord which Chazal already struck. In general, not just physical well-being, but the need to recognize yourself as a worthy and deserving recipient of chesed. But what's fascinating is the difference between these two reports. The first story views the human body as an autonomous, self-sufficient reason for hygiene and fitness. This is Hashem's Tzelem Elokim. It's not just our consciousness and our emotions, our intelligence and our creativity, our free will and our dreams and ration, but our physical body. Now, without delving too deeply into that very provocative question, how could our bodies be Tzelem Elokim? After all, Hashem has no image, so that's in and of itself an important etymological and theological question, but those concerns aside for the time being, our bodies independently are seen as Tzelem Elokim and have to be treated as the masterpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anyone who has a modicum of medical understanding and certainly the manner in which modern science has uncovered some of the mysteries, the heretofore mysteries of the human body and of the human brain, can well imagine Tzelem Elokim expressed in the functionings of the human body. Whereas the second story separates and severs body from soul, guf from neshama, and attributes the need for bodily maintenance and physical well-being and fitness because it contains our soul. Again, in the exact details, it's not as if part of me has to be grateful to the other part of me. I'm one identity. Hashem infused my body to my soul. It's not like I owe gratitude because part A is hosting part B. But by articulating it that way, it reminds us of the body-soul division. And now sometimes that fusion seems so powerful that we're unable to think in terms of eternity and soul and identity independent of body. And certainly in a world of fitness and well-being, sometimes those values are taken too extremely, too radically. And beyond just the world of fitness and attention to our hygiene and well-being, what type of attention has society placed on bodies as opposed to identities? How has the world of fashion, how has the world of sports and athletics, how has the world of mass media, of television and Hollywood, how have they influenced and distorted our ability to identify people based on their identity, not based on their physical appearance? How much has the manipulation is a weak word, but the exploitation and dehumanization of other people, primarily, as we've witnessed over the last year, not over the last year, but as it's been uncovered over the last year, the dehumanization and objectification of women by males, how much has that been a product and a casualty of an unhealthy ability to identify character rather than becoming riveted on bodies? And this reminder, I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had written extensively about that, he wrote an article when he suffered a stroke, and for him, he felt as if, so to speak, I'm just using my own words, I don't know which words he used, but if my memory serves me correctly, where it was very clear that part of his body was only a body, because it had no motion and had no nerves and had no response capabilities. How often do, Baruch Hashem, those of us who are healthy, Be'ezus Hashem, how often are we able to disassociate the two and ordinate the two? And ironically, as much as Hillel in the second story was urging maintenance and well-being, it was by creating that hierarchy, so to speak, as opposed to the first, and of course, as everything else, it's a balance and a blend. Living too graphically with that hierarchy is unhealthy. There has to be a fusion between the two. We have to conduct ourselves in a synthesized fashion. And we have to see in the body tzel melekim as well. But it can blur the differences between body, which is transient, and soul, which is eternal.